Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you again. We had a wonderful time on our trip up to New York, upstate New York, and went to some places we haven't been before. The only problem was it's kind of chilly for even them up in that time of year. It didn't get out of the 60s while we were there. We went up into the Adirondacks, and it was 56 degrees up there. So it was quite cold, but we had a wonderful time with our family, saw three of our kids, and one of our youngest son went with us up to the farm, and we had a wonderful time together. But it's good to be back with you this morning. The other day, I was pulling some weeds, and I came across one weed. Now, the definition of a weed is anything that is not wanted in your yard. You can bring up that slide. This is the one that I found. Whether this is a little tree or a bush or some other vegetation, it caught my eye because amongst all the other weeds I was pulling, it was holding on to this piece of wood. In essence, it was reaching out beyond its normal boundaries of rooting among the surroundings, and it was grasping on to something to hold on to. Most of us know our physical boundaries. We live by them every day of our lives. We know what limits there are to our actions, and to some degree, how we interact with one another. Boundaries are good for the most part. You can take that down now. Boundaries are good for the most part. Most of us learn about boundaries in relationships, in our interaction with others. Our laws to protect society are certainly needed as boundaries are set to live together as a society. But sometimes we can be bound by boundaries. And that is what I want to address today from our readings that we heard this morning. Now, to set this up a bit, we have to look at what had just happened prior to our gospel reading that we heard. Jesus and the disciples had been traveling, and they stop and eat. However, some of the Pharisees were also on their trail, looking to find some kind of discretion of some sort or another. It's almost like much of the media today, trying to find anything they can. In this case, the disciples had eaten without the ceremonial ritual of washing your hands first. Ha ha, we caught you. You broke the law. Your disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. They had crossed a ritual boundary. It was a tradition. It wasn't even a law. And Jesus points out their own hypocrisy because they have been twisting God's law in honoring your father and mother so they could gain more for themselves. But they call out the disciples for eating without washing. And the Pharisees are so bound by boundaries that they fail to see what was the most important aspect of all and what God sought the most. Jesus then gives them an object lesson. It's not what goes into the mouth that makes one unclean. It's what comes out of the mouth. And the disciples go to Jesus and report to the Pharisees, they don't like what you said. Well, duh. You know, they were mad at you now. Well, tell us what you meant by this parable. A little frustrated, Jesus says, guys, don't you even get it at all? After all this time, don't you get it? For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. You see, the Pharisees were so bound by these traditions that they failed to examine their own heart. Jesus' concern is for the heart. He wants a clean heart. One that is open and ready to receive the truth that he has for us all. So now, as he did so many times, it's time for another object lesson. We're going on a road trip. And wouldn't you know it, it's to another boundary. Matthew tells us that they go to Tyre and Sidon. Now, this area stretches to the outer limits of the Jewish territory. I believe that everything that Jesus did was in his perfect timing, and for his rest and for his disciples to learn something from it. And as they go into this territory, they are met by a Canaanite woman. But there is something different happening here. This woman comes to Jesus crying out for help. Her daughter is demon-possessed. Now here we see another boundary being crossed. This woman saw something in Jesus. Far outside her Gentile upbringing, she begs for mercy and addresses Jesus as Lord, Son of David. Now get this, that is a title for the coming Messiah. This woman is pressing beyond her physical and cultural boundaries, and she reaches into the spiritual truth of who Jesus is. But something strange happens. Jesus initially ignores her. He knows that his time is to be revealed to the Gentiles is not yet fully come, but he lets the woman continue anyway. And the disciples are saying, Jesus, just get rid of her. She's bugging us. Get it. Let her, tell her to leave. Jesus, help us out here. But Jesus pushes the woman and her faith a bit. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, he says. Note that he did not say no. He only stated his primary purpose for the time being. Unmoved, the woman falls on her feet before Jesus and pleads for help. And Jesus pushes a little harder and asks the woman a question. Is it not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs? Now we need to understand, Jesus is not really calling the woman a dog. He is using an illustration of taking food off the table and giving it to the pet. Jesus is establishing clearer terms that he came for the children of Israel first, then for the Gentile. But the woman still does not relent. You see, this woman, by many standards, might be considered a weed. But her spiritual roots have grasped onto something. Something that will give her stability. Something that will keep her grounded. And this is what Jesus was pushing for. The woman, with resounding faith, challenges Jesus' statement. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs or the pets eat the crumbs from the master's table. And with these words, the woman has stepped across her boundary and stepped into a place where Jesus is. Her faith has brought her to a place where everything that Jesus stands for is met face to face. She comes to the place where not only did she know Jesus could grant her request, but she knew he would do it because she knows who Jesus is. In essence, her will and the will of God were in union with one another. Nothing could move it. Jesus is so moved by the Gentile's faith. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Jesus only said that twice in Scripture, both to Gentiles. The centurion who asked Jesus to just say the word and it'll be done. And to this woman. And Jesus grants her request. You see, Jesus could not deny who he is. He came that all might know him and be set free. This woman met him there. She stepped into the perfect will of God. Philip Yancey, in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, said this, by going out of his way to meet with the Gentiles, eat with sinners, and touch the sick, he extended the realm of God's mercy. To Jewish leaders, Jesus' action jeopardized their very existence of their religious caste system. No wonder the Gospels mention more than 20 occasions when they conspired against Jesus, close quote. With the Canaanite woman and the few others like the centurion, Jesus is giving a glimpse of what he is about. I think Jesus wants us to look beyond the boundaries that we build for ourselves, especially the spiritual boundaries. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the previous chapter, there is an incident where Peter's faith is also challenged as he failed. This was what you read last week in the gospel reading. I have this picture hanging in my office. Debbie gave it to me at my ordination as a priest. Peter wanted to get out of the boat and join Jesus out on the water, and he asked for permission. And Jesus said, come. Come to where I am. Now, that goes beyond all logic. Who would step out of a perfectly good boat into a heavy wind and attempt to walk on water? Would you? It's a boundary that few would even think to attempt. But here was Jesus, so for a brief moment, Peter had his full attention on Jesus. Forget about the water, forget about the boat, forget about the wind. He stepped outside those boundaries and did as Jesus told him. Come to me, Peter. But look what happened as he did. For a moment, he walked, but then reason stepped in. The wind is terrifying. How can I be doing this, walking on the water? And once Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, he begins to sink. And Jesus reaches down and pulls him up. What a contrast to the Canaanite woman. She was pushed to the limit by the Lord to really reveal what was in her heart. And Jesus said, great is your faith. And when Peter saw what was happening on this object lesson trip, he must have had a tremendous fill of humility. I think sometimes we resemble the disciples because we too have difficulties with boundaries at times. We become comfortable with only certain people around us. We who attend church become comfortable with our denominational traditions at times. A story is told of a young boy. After church on Sunday morning, this young boy was suddenly announced to his parents, I have decided I'm going to be a minister when I grow up. And the mom said, well, that's wonderful. That's really great, son, but what made you decide that you want to become a minister? He goes, well, I have to go to church anyway on Sunday. Sadly, I'm afraid some clergy and pastors might really feel that way. Sometimes we're stuck in things we think we have to do rather than doing the things because God called us to do it. I want you to hear me. I'm not saying that traditions are bad. I'm not saying that comfort levels are harmful. The difficulty comes when, like Peter, we are asked by the Lord to come. And because of our boundaries, we don't. We allow our fears of the unknown to rule our thinking. You see, God is here. He has opened the door to come before him in the person of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is take that step. I think many read this scripture and they think that it's only about persistence. If we just pray longer, pray harder, get more people to pray, something will happen. Yes, we should be persistent in our prayers. Yes, we should have a lot of people praying as we can, people who are called to do that. But many times there's a point that the Holy Spirit says, okay, come over here where I am. And you need to pray for Joe tomorrow. I want you to go to Joe in the hospital and pray for him directly and lay hands on him. I have a word that I want you to give Joe when you go pray for him. I want you to share with Mary, your neighbor, tomorrow. I got something that she needs to know. Something's going on in her heart, and I want you to give that word to her. You see, we can create all these boundaries that bind our ability to move when the Holy Spirit directs us to move. To go talk to someone or to do something when we are prompted to go. The lesson for us here, I believe, is that our willingness to step outside our comfort zone, to go beyond our boundaries and walk hand in hand with the loving hand of the Lord to guide us. The obvious question is, how do I know it's God's will? Well, if you are praying and seeking, usually you will know. Sometimes with bigger issues, it might take something more of discernment process to take place by, does it coincide with Scripture or to counsel with others? God will never tell us to do something that contradicts his word given to us. But for the most part, it really is just stepping out in faith. Does anyone remember Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade as they searched for the Holy Grail? Remember that movie? As Indiana Jones gets closer to where the Grail is located, he comes to a cliff with a camouflage bridge. He's looking right at it, but he can't see it. All he saw was a deep cavern which seemed endless from his vantage point. That would be frightening. Would you take that step? But he knows he is in the right spot, and if he follows the instructions, the bridge will appear. He closes his eyes, takes that step of faith, and the bridge was there to catch his first step. It's the same with us. Our persistence in prayer should be to move our will into the will of God, to step out to him, to the place that may seem uncomfortable at times. That can go two ways. You may want to go in one direction, and he's saying, I want you to go in another direction. You might want to head for this door, not now, but and he wants you to go out that door. We need to be listening, not only to where he wants to take us, but to make sure that where we're going is his will and not ours. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We need to be seeking God in every direction he leads us. Not what we want, but what he wants. Certain things we do know. We know that it is God's will that we know who he is to the fullest, and to be in fellowship with him as it was in the beginning. We know that it is his will to share the love of Christ with others. These are the basics of our faith. True freedom comes from Jesus Christ. No other way. Jesus said that, not me. We know this because he too crossed a boundary. Jesus crossed over from the spiritual to the physical and came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, his only Son. He crossed over the boundary of death and conquered it by rising again. Jesus is saying to us, come over to where I am. I will save you. Come over to where I am. I will give you power by my Spirit to guide you. Come over to where I am. I will give you rest because going against him is so tiring, believe me. So much more difficult than going with him. That picture in my office is a constant reminder to me that he is always there to hold me up. He is always there calling on me to be where he is, as he calls on all of us to be where he is. Jesus has made his move to be with us. It is up to us to step forward in faith and move closer to him. Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I will come. I'll be used by you. When we see the things going on around our country today, there is only one answer. And that answer is the love of Christ who died for every single person in this world. He wants us to come to him. And folks, it's those who know him who need to share that. Those who know him need to step out in faith and go to him and be his mouth, be his hands, be his feet, wherever he calls us. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit. I ask, Lord, that you would move in the hearts of your people, not only here, but throughout this nation, throughout the world. Father, that people would reach outside their comfort zones, outside the boundaries that they have set for themselves, and reach out to you to guide them and to hold them up, Lord God, as they take your word and your truth to others around them. Father, I pray that you would move in the hearts of this nation, that you would move in the hearts of your church, Lord God, to be such a power force of your Spirit, to bring that good news, to help others see the truth of who you are, to see that only true happiness comes from you. Allow us, Lord God, to move in your Spirit. And we thank you, Father. We give you the honor and the glory for all that you want to do and will continue to do through your church, your body, that you have called us into union together to be your voice. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.